The next study I wanted to ask you about is the adjuvant bevacizumab trial. Can you talk about that?
So if we go back a year or so ago, we have data from the intergroup trial E2100, a trial that randomized patients in the frontline metastatic breast cancer setting to receive either chemotherapy alone with paclitaxel or to receive chemotherapy plus bevacizumab. And that trial, with now increasingly mature follow-up, suggest a striking improvement in progression-free survival for patients receiving the combined therapy as opposed to paclitaxel alone. And this, in metastatic breast cancer, certainly represents the first important proof of concept study suggesting that anti-VEGF-targeted therapy, anti-angiogenic therapy in general, could have a real benefit for patients with advanced disease. Now, as always in breast cancer, when we have a positive result for patients who are in large part incurable, we like to move that therapy as quickly as possible into a setting where we might be able to improve the curability of the disease. And this has led to the development of the breast cancer intergroup trial E5103. This trial will look at lymph node positive breast cancer patients and will randomize patients to one of three arms. The first arm, which represents the backbone chemotherapy arm of the trial, will be Adriamycin and cyclophosphamide, followed by paclitaxel. Interestingly, to improve accrual in the trial, and because many physicians still have biases one way or the other, we are allowing a dealer's choice here as to whether or not patients receive the chemotherapy on a more classic Q3-week basis or whether or not they receive dose-dense chemotherapy. I suspect, for instance, perhaps based upon the steroid receptor status of the tumor, an individual physician might choose to give dose-dense chemotherapy or not. Patients in the second and third arms of the trial will be receiving bevacizumab, and they will be receiving bevacizumab in combination both with the Adriamycin and Cytoxan, as well as the paclitaxel. The second and third arms differ in terms of the duration of therapy that patients receive bevacizumab. And that is to say that patients in the second arm will be receiving bevacizumab only during the course of the chemotherapy, and patients in the third arm will be receiving bevacizumab out to a duration of 1 year of therapy. This will allow us to look at a very interesting question. The duration question is a question that we haven't answered very well previously with other biologics. Trastuzumab certainly springs to mind as the one where we've 8 or 9 years after the drug came on the market, we're still wrestling with how long we should be giving the agent. But now we'll be able to answer this question from the get-go in an appropriate adjuvant population. It also, I think, is interesting from a biological standpoint. We really don't have a good sense right now of exactly how bevacizumab is working. So it's possible, for instance, that it is to a certain extent acting as a magnifier of chemotherapeutic effect. If one believes that there is synergy between chemotherapeutics and anti-angiogenics against endothelial cells, which preclinical data suggest, or that a la Rakesh Jain at Harvard's observations that bevacizumab is altering the ability of chemotherapy to get into a tumor, then a great deal of the effect might be a magnifier effect, and therefore we might see the greatest benefit with relatively short duration, I think, which we would certainly all like from a financial standpoint. On the other hand, it might well be that bevacizumab might benefit patients via a chronic suppression of new blood vessel formation, and therefore longer duration might be important. So the second and third arms, I think, will give us a very important answer to that particular question.